Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to ask a question. You can, if you're interested in this little exercise today, you can think about it. What do you believe that God's role in our lives is? Think about it. What is God's place or role in our lives? Some people believe that God created everything and that He put forth a plan and that He's removed Himself from that and He made a way and we go through life that way. Is that what we believe? So, what is God's role in our lives? How far will He go with us? I mean, where's the limitations of what? Linda and I have been married for over 23 years. And in 23 years, there was one day, and I had to fly from Monarch, I had to leave Monarch and fly to Maryland and do a funeral and come back. And there was one day in 23 years that I have not been with my wife. You want to know what my role, her role in my life is? That's the role in her life. I'm pleased, very pleased to have her in my life every day. So that's the role that she plays. She plays a role in my life of what she does and where she, all of that is a role in my life. What is God's role in our lives? Is God interested in the little nuances of your life? Does God care when you get upset? You think that God cares when you get up? I mean, maybe it's your fault you're upset. You know what I mean? Maybe you're out of sorts. Is God's role in our lives like that? I want us to think about it. Because I think it's important what we believe. This is an element of faith of where is God? What role does He play in my life? Does God care whether I'm emotionally disturbed or not? My fault, your fault, nobody's fault, everybody's fault. Does God care about those things about my life? Does God care about my financial situation? My fault, your fault, nobody's fault, everybody's fault. Does God care about the situation that I'm in my life? Well, I want to say today, I think that you would agree, most everybody would agree, that God wants to be a part of our lives. Not just in big moments or big ideas. I promote this most always in my preaching. I think it's the most important element of our Christian life. I think that each one of us individually needs a relationship with God. One to where we see God in our lives for what He does and the role that He plays in my life. Because over the years, I've noticed that faithful people have put God in all the places of their life. God helps them with some of the smallest things, to the greatest things, to the biggest thing. God is an element of their life, in their life. To help. There'll be times that faithful people will testify and say that I was doing my housework and the Lord said, the Lord spoke to me about something that was important to me. I got off the phone and I was disturbed by the phone call. And God said to me, and it soothed me, it helped me, it gave me understanding of the situation. about my life. God wants to be more than an idea that you and I that have that says there's a the church idea. God wants to be more than the church idea. God wants to be an active element in our personal lives. And it's a really, really important that we do that because it's a matter of faith. Because if God isn't running this place, who is? This is important to me. Can I be thrown to circumstance? Do you think that we can be thrown just to the elements of circumstance? Can a storm arise quickly and come through Myrtle, Missouri and kill all of us and it was by chance? Can these things happen? This is an important idea about the things of our life. Can I get... I'll just give you an example of this. Several years ago, it actually started here in Myrtle. I got a tick on me one time here at Myrtle. I seen it was embedded right between my fingers right there. It was just a little seed tick and it was stuck there. And again, done what I normally do, and picked it off and went on. About 2 weeks later, this was at the school thing they used to have here. We went on to a Guthrie meeting. And in Guthrie, I noticed that there was a big ring, there was a purple ring there with a white ring around that. And it was really itchy. And I looked at that and then I remembered that was a tick bite there. Well, we went on from there to Holly Hill, South Carolina. And it was like 105 around. It was hot. And I was fevered and just shaking. I got fevered. I got this rash started popping out on me and all of this stuff. And I remember it was an urgent situation to think about what was this tick bite. And you know what? The only disturbance I remember I was feeling of it. I was confident that the Lord had told me, I want you to go to these meetings. And I said, I don't know what this is, but I'm convinced that the Lord has told me to do this. And if that's true, this don't matter. This doesn't matter because God knows about these things. God obviously allows these, and these things happen. And I was convinced that the Lord wanted me to be in the Holly Hill meeting. And so I get the ministers, let's pray. And I've not got a diagnosis for you other than this. Whatever it was, God healed it. And I went on and done and fulfilled what God's impression for me was. And it stuck with my mind is that God really is control. Brother Norman and I was talking a little earlier today, and he made a statement. And the statement was, is all this stuff that's going on in the world. He said, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have this to fall back on. I have this, that God is in control. Of all that in the world and all of this, and oh, they're doing this, or they're doing this, and this is coming on us, and they're going to try to do this, and this is coming back. Oh, no, it's all this. Thank God. He's still in control, and He knows where we're at. We know what time it is with us. He knows who we are. He knows what we need. This is a matter of faith. What role does God play in our lives? Is he removed himself from the human experience? Or is he wanting to be a part of our experience? Brother Jim White was a real inspiration to me in my life, and he may be considered a simple man. He was wise to the Lord. He may have been considered an uneducated man and a simple man, but he had one characteristic that was shining out. God was in his life. He couldn't do something without God in his life. He believed that God had a role in his waking up in the morning. He believed that God had a role in who he met. He believed God had a role in what things happened to him in his life. He believed God was close by. He would regularly testify about things. I remember one testimony that seemed quick. he had lost his checkbook, which was pretty common for Brother Jim, and he was sitting in the chair, and he was a little disturbed by the idea. He needed to find his checkbook, and he's sitting in the chair and saying, "Lord, I really need this checkbook." This was his testimony. You can believe it or not, but God had a role in his life, and he said that the Lord said to him while he was saying, "Lord, I really need that checkbook, and I don't know where it's at. But I know you know." And he said, the Lord spoke to him so plain and said, "Well, reach your hand down in the side of the chair." And he reached down in the side of the chair and pulled out his checkbook and said, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me the checkbook." Because God had a role in his life. He was going to Elkins one day, and the car ahead of him had to slam their brakes on, and Brother Jim run into the back of the car. But God had a role in his life. His testimony was as I was going to town and had an accident and made a friend. Brother Jim was so impressive that the people he ran into them. They invited him back to the house for supper. He went back and ate supper with them and had a friend and had friends there that contacted him the rest of his life. He believed that God had a role in that contact. Yes. He was able to testify to them about God and who God was. And I never thought about really having a witness plan like that. Let's get our cars and go run into the back of somebody. And you wouldn't want to do that, I assure you. But if God's got the role in your life, God can use those kind of things in your life to bring souls to the kingdom. Everything ended being up. Both cars was took care of. Everything was taken care of. But he met somebody that ended up meaning something. Because God has a role in his life. And I just want to encourage us today to ask this question to you. What do we believe God's role is? What is he doing? Does he go with us when we go? Is he helping us in life? Do we have to really be frantic? I know our human nature. But the disciples are in a ship and a storm rises up and Jesus is in the ship. And the disciples' faith did not ascend. What was Jesus' role in their life? He was there, but they didn't have him in the role that he should have been in. That ship can't sink with Jesus on it. But the disciples' faith couldn't take that in because they didn't have Jesus in the right role yet. He wasn't in the right place in their life. If you remember, they even accused him of, "You let us perish? We're gonna drown? We're gonna do this?" He said, "Ye have little faith. Have I not shown you above all of that? What's my role in this?" Have confidence and faith in God. Amen. There's a scripture in 1 Peter. I want to pick it up real quick. The fifth chapter, 1 Peter. I'll read just a little bit to pick it up, 5:5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now take that, just isolate that. Casting all your care on him. Why? His role. He cares for you. Can we really accept that today? I mean, really put that into practice in the faith of our life. I mean, really, it's not just a statement now. It's not just, yeah, that's a Bible verse. But casting all of our cares on him. There's no physical way to do that. The idea of your mind, giving him these things because He's God of the universe. Giving all these things because he loved me enough to die for me. Giving him all these things because he can handle it better than I can. And when I give him up, I can rest. When I give these things over, so I'm having a little trouble with someone. It's hard to do. Do you know God knows how to deal with that? God knows what to do with those kind of things. Casting all that on the Lord because he cares for you. He doesn't want us to be destroyed by these elements. So he's inviting us, casting all of our cares on him, for he cares for you. Oh, the idea that the Lord, God of the universe, cares for me? Does he really? I'm going to ask this sincerely. Does God really care for me? I mean, how much? How much? See, because I got love. I mean, I know what I would do for my wife. I know what I do for my children. I know what I've done for them. I know what my feelings are for them. I know I'd die for them. I know I'd give them that. Does God really love me? Does he love me as much as I love my family? I love you all. I love the saints. I love you all. Does God love me as much as I love you all? Now, you all there got grins on your face saying, "Brother Marty, they're close." I mean, I don't know what you're saying this. Right. Casting all your care on him, for he careth. He careth for you. He really cares for you. So we can, by faith, say, this is God of the universe. I can't plan my life out because I don't know what the elements of it is going to be. I don't know what I've got left. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know. But God does. And when I get to thinking too much about it, I'll get stressed out and high blood pressure. Tensed up and all this stuff. So the Lord gives us an out on this and says, casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. Bottom line, he careth for you. I have to believe that today, that God really does care for me. I'm not left to my own in this. God really does care for me. And if he does care for me, then he's looking to do the best for me. Do you believe that? I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil. Not of bad. I'm not trying to do this. That scripture, if you look up that scripture, I'm going to say that. That scripture is usually isolated. But I'm going to tell you the context of that scripture. I know my thoughts towards you. And convincing the people that the Lord's thoughts was good, not evil, to give them an expected end. You know what the situation of that scripture is? They're about to go into captivity. You think, well, God's about to bless them. No! God's telling them, you don't know what's good for you. I tried to keep you all this. No, this has to happen. But this isn't, the desire of God isn't that I destroy you. It's the opposite. My thoughts towards you isn't to destroy you here. I care for you, but you went so far, you need something. Don't we want God to arrest us in our wrong ways? Don't we really want God to change the direction when they're wrong? Yes. I depend on it. It might hurt. It might be difficult. But we really depend on the Lord to say, I'm not going to let you do that just so easy. I'm going to arrest you in your course. So I know my thoughts towards you. Can I really say that even in the times that I am shocked awake with something that's disturbing in the night, or I get that phone call that hurts so bad, or that you don't know how to hardly handle, or what do you think about it? We've got some shocking phone calls. I'll be honest with you. When they called me about Brother Philip in that situation, I was shocked. That was a close brother. That was a brother. That was someone. I mean, we had a relationship that was strong, and all of a sudden I'm shocked. What do you do at those kind of times? God's way is best. even if I don't know it. Heart sees us struggling to see and know and understand. But you wrestle with this. There's some basic elements. Casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Yes, Lord, I don't understand all the things that can happen and the losses that we can feel and the heartaches and the hurts and all of those kind of things. But I can say this. I know God wants to be a part of my life. He wants to have the soothing balm for that hurt. He wants to increase us and make us strong by the elements that He brings into our lives. He wants to do that for us. And that's why He can say, cast all your cares on Me. If you need some of them back, I'll give them to you in abundantly. If you want to sit around and worry, I can give you that. If you need something in your life, I'll give you that. But you cast them into My lap and I'll figure out what they are and give them back if you need them. The scripture over in Psalms 37th Psalm. The 23rd verse of the 37th Psalm says, "The steps of a good man." That good there is a little, was a little, in my studying of it anyway, just bring it out. It can be explained, just to say that. The steps of a strong, valiant man, a man considered worthy, are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes we want to be able to order things. But this says that the steps of a good man, strong man, a valiant man, a man of integrity, they're ordered of the Lord. Well, thank the Lord for that. I'm glad they're ordered of the Lord. Because who can order them for themselves? And it's saying even in this that the mighty, those that are courageous, those that have learned, those that are willing. David, for instance. David, as a young man, took on the responsibilities. He allowed God to be a part of his life. And say, what was God's role in David's life from a young man? Deliverer? Healer? Helper? What was God in David's life? He helped him do a better... David looked at the situation as a young lad and said in his mind, I believe, you can get this from it, that he didn't look and say that David must be awfully good to kill a lion and a bear. He probably was quite in turmoil over having to take on a lion and a bear. He just done his responsibility and God delivered him. That's what he said. God delivered him to my hand. I was able to take him on and have victory because God brought the victory and gave me the victory over him. It was God and it wasn't me. And God had a role in his life, and he come to a place that he was going to have to take on Goliath. He took on the responsibility of doing that. What role is God going to play in this? The steps of a good man's ordered to the Lord. Well, I don't know how to kill a giant. David, here's you a sword, and here's you some armor, and put all this on, and he put it on, and I don't know if his depiction's right or not, but I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Saul's armor, wasn't it? Wasn't it Saul's armor? Saul was a big man. He was a head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a big man, and he put that, the depiction is as David was a smaller man, and he took that armor and put it. Can you imagine the scene? You know, it's kind of like little boy puts his daddy's jacket on and the cuffs are down over his fingers and he's standing there and he ain't man enough to fill out the cuff. This is, David said, this is stuff of war. But I'm not dependent on stuff of war. I'm dependent on the one that I have a relationship with. I'm dependent on the one that's had a role in my life. And I'm going to go down there with God, not with armor. But I'm going to go with God. And David went down there and God played a role in David's life. And he went down there and he knew God was in his life. And he went down there and told him, I don't come with you with sword and spear. I come with you in the name of the Lord. You're doing something. God ain't pleased with that. I'm coming in His name to do something here. God ordered his steps. He was valiant. He was courageous. He wanted right. He wanted to do right. He loved God. He wanted to do it. And the Bible says, though, of those persons, not just the men, it's women too, the steps of those people are ordered of the Lord. We face an awfully challenging world today, don't we? Lord, order our steps. What am I to be in this? I want to challenge you that there is people out there that's going to need God. And there's going to be people out there that's going to find God if we help them. There'll be people out there to witness to. The steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. David's was ordered of the Lord, and he ordered him down there, and he come down there, and now he's a giant and all this. And now David is just showing what God can do. I think, in my mind, I think David probably did have the skill of the weapon of choice. I think he did have the skill. But I've had fairly good skill at stuff too and not been able to pull something off. It doesn't give you all of it. I think he probably could sling a rock. I remember one time I had made a sling and I was having fun with it and I'd go around slinging rock. You can really, I don't know if you ever did that, but you can really throw a rock with a sling. I mean, it is impressive. And like I said in exhorting before service, we're impressed by power. And boy, when you can sling that thing and throw a rock and you see it rocket through beyond human ability. I mean, you see that go, that's pretty impressive. And I was a young boy, and so I got down, we lived up on the hill, and I got down in the road and I was standing down there and I was throwing rocks across the river over into another field, and just now I really was going to throw one, so I slung that thing and aimed to throw it that way, but I guess I hung on to the string too long and the rock went that way, and I heard a click as the rock hit our porch banister and crashed our front window of a door, and the rock went flying through the living room and the glass and all that. And I heard Mom squall about the time the rock went in. And, well, I'm not going to claim skill at all, but there was a moment there that casting your cares would have been a good idea. So, Mom was upset. Of course, I just threw a rock, and Dad come home. My dad was a very, very mellow guy. And our kitchen, our front door would draw, there was a draft would pull it. And if you put a normal pane of glass in there, a lot of times when we went to close the door, the draft of the house would slam the door and it would break that glass. And it had happened a couple times, so Dad went to town and got an extra thick, great big thick glass that would hold that up. And he was proud of himself for doing it. And I shattered his dreams. He come home and said, well, it would have withstood just about everything but that. I'm saying this, David may have had skill, but I'm not sure that he could have put it between Goliath's eyes. The steps of a good man is ordered in the Lord. And the Lord brings us to places to where I'm finished my story. I fared okay in that whole thing. But God orders the steps of a good man. Joseph was a young man that had a mind for God. He had a heart for God. From a young man, he had a heart of God. And what God was doing and going to do in his life. And do you know he went through quite a journey? We won't read it, but he went through a life journey of difficulties, of struggle. And God ordered it. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God looked down through the future, and for what God's purpose and desire was for Israel, He knew what He wanted to do with them and where to bring them to that place, and He knew what He was going to do with it, and He chose Joseph, a good man, a brave, valiant, a man that wanted integrity, and He chose him and He started ordering his steps. This is why we really need to realize, what role is God playing in my life? Is God in this? It's a hard thing to go through some of these things without the realization that my loving God is in this. God is doing it. So if I can get a hold of that, that God is in this and it's for His glory and for our good, I can go through that by faith. I can know that. Nobody wants to be a Joseph from the time he's thrown into the well until he ascended up into the second to Pharaoh, but there's a moment there. And that's when we need to know and realize God's in this place. This is the role that God's going to play in my life. And I want to tell you something. My experience is that the presence of God, no matter where you're at or what position that you're in, the presence of God will outshine everything else. After I was saved about a year or a year and a half or something, I got really sick. This would have been 84, 85, I guess, 86. I don't remember exactly now. How old am I? I guess it had been about 86. I was sick. I got really, really sick, high fevered and sick. But leading up to that, I kept hearing these testimonies of God's people, how God had healed them and helped them. Well, God had never healed me and helped me that way because I hadn't been sick. And I almost was ready for that experience. I wanted God in that. And so when I got sick, it was like, Lord, I'm here for this experience. And right in the middle of being so fevered and so sick, God visited me. And it's a hard thing to even explain to you, but there's been many times in my life and difficulties in my life, I would gladly go back to that. Because the visitation of God in my soul at the time, even though I was sick and fevered and all these symptoms, there was such a joy and enlightenment. There was something that so outshined the sickness of my body that it gave me a lesson for life. What role does God play in our life? Do you know that you, by the grace of God, can go through anything that He sends your way? Do you know you can with joy be in prison? Oh, it's not Brother Marty. You can't in your flesh. But I want to tell you, if God sends you there and He visits you there, you'll be glad to be there. It'll be overwhelming. God, there's something about the presence of the Lord. Isn't there a scripture that says in His presence is the fullness? No, I didn't say there was a little bit of joy in His presence. It said in His presence is the fullness of joy. You want joy? Happiness? You want to feel the sensation of that? It's in God's presence. I believe that Joseph went through what he did with integrity, feeling God's presence in his life. I think God had a role in his life, encouraging and inspiring, not left to our own, not to do nothing, but God was in the elements of it. It wasn't unique. God has done that for all of His people. He says not a name. He didn't say that the steps of Joseph are ordered to the Lord. He didn't say the steps of Moses was ordered to the Lord. He said, not the steps of Abraham. He said the steps of a good man is ordered to the Lord. Everybody that fits the category. All of God's people have been in a place that He's ordered the steps of their life. This is where I'm going to bring you to. Oh, this wonderful idea that God actually has planned out our lives. And it's the very best. And we can follow the Lord in that. Joseph wasn't the only one. Daniel was a good man. Scripture teaches that he was courageous. He was valiant. He was upright. He spoke truth. He kept his integrity. God ordered his steps. Okay, God ordered his steps all the way to a lion's den. Do you believe that? Do you believe God ordered a lion's den for David? Or for Daniel? Of course he did. The steps of a good man. I ordered him there. So what's going to happen? Well, I guess they're going to throw me down there and the lion's going to eat me. I mean, wait, that's the plan. Well, it wasn't in God's plan. Well, why did he let it happen? He let it happen for the story, for the encouragement for the generations. He ordered his steps. What role did God play in Daniel's life? Didn't Daniel say when they come to him and said, the king, this was the other king, the king wants a dream interpreted. And he said to his wise men and soothsayers and astrologers and those that were supposed to know, he said to them, I want you to interpret the dream I had. They said, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. No, he said, I want you to do it different this time. I forgot what the dream is. But it was very disturbing. So I want you to tell me what the dream was that went out of my mind. So tell me the dream and then the interpretation thereof. Well, now who can do that? All right. You've been claiming to be something all this time. You better do this. Well, nobody can do that. You know, Daniel agreed with that. Well, who can do that? Well, I can't do it. But if you give me time, I know the one that can. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Those other ones wasn't good men. They were frauds. They assumed that they had something and knew something and all that, and they didn't, and Daniel never did. I can't do that. But God can do it. Give me time. And God revealed not only did the interpretation of the dream to his one, he said, he told him what the dream was. You know, that's pretty impressive to that king. He was saying, that's right. Yes, that's right. You know, I don't think that he doubted the interpretation thereof one bit. Because God had revealed what the dream was. The giver of the dream interpreted it. The steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. Daniel, you're right here where I want you to be. I'm going to allow all this to happen. In the time of they get jealous of Daniel and want him thrown, so they trick him into nobody. This decree, they trick the king. This decree, nobody can pray to God or man for 30 days except to you, O king. Oh, what an honor. They was only after Daniel. But God knew they was after Daniel. And he ordered the steps of a good man. Who shines out of it all? Why did he do it? He done it for us. So that we can know that God wants to play the same role in our life. He wants us to have the same place that Daniel had. He wanted us to have the same idea in mind that the three Hebrew children had. They said, O king, we're not careful in answering thee in this. This is the bottom line. You can kill us, but only once. Praise the Lord! You can only do this once, and you can't. You better be. If you're wanting us to feel something, you better be careful how much you do, because you kill us and you've set us free. You can't do nothing, king. We honor you. But we ain't bowing. We ain't bowing. This is true. We're not careful in answering you in this. We're not bound to that image. So whatever you're going to do, you're going to have to do it. God's going to deliver us. But if I'm wrong in that, we still ain't bound to you. This is right for us to do. God has ordered our steps. God has brought us to this place. God has allowed you to bring us here. God has put us in your palace. God has kept us the best looking when we eat so much different food. We didn't eat the king's meat or drink his wine, and we come out better on it. God has blessed us and ordered our steps, and he's going to do this too. And we're going to trust the Lord because he's got a role in our life as protector, king. This is a place in our life. You can't go beyond that, king. And you know the story. He tried. And what did it end up doing? I think, if I'm not mistaken, the king ended up at the end of it saying, everybody is to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, that's a reversal. That's a turnaround. That's 180. That's a turnaround. The steps was ordered of the Lord. Job was a good man. He sacrificed when no one did. He kept his integrity, though he was wealthy and all of these things. He believed God in the tragedies. He believed God when things went wrong. Should we bless God in the good times and not in the bad? God gives and God takes away. God is God regardless of all this. God ordered the steps of a good man. You believe that? Oh, the devil did it. That devil didn't do anything God didn't let him do. You read yet and see what he done. He done what God let him do. That's the only thing he done. And he ordered the steps of Job. We have the story of Job because God ordered those steps of his life. You know, he went through some hard things to go through all at once like that. The idea of the loss of your possessions that you worked hard for, you calculated, you figured, you bred, you done all this stuff in your life to make life better. You lose it all in an instant. You have this family. You love your children. You're doing all that, and they die suddenly. All of them did. All that, you have this heartache and all these things that happen. But the steps of a good man's ordered to the Lord. God allowed it to happen all in his life as a testimony to us. All the way down to us, we have the book of Job to look at. And what a book. What a person. He's one of the great challenges of me. For in all of it, he did not charge God foolishly. Oh, there's been times that I've looked at my situations and, oh, Lord, the challenge of Job. He didn't charge. God, what are you doing? He didn't charge God fully. God gives and God taketh away. We're going to bless the name of the Lord all the way through. You know, God done something special for Job. At the end of Job, it was testified that the end of Job was better than it was before. God had brought him all the way around through all of that. And so much in all of it. God wants to do the same thing. So in closing, I'll just ask this question. What is God's role in your life? Do you believe that God has ordered your steps? He says he does. He orders the steps. As we go on and we're challenged, and I think this is a pretty clear-cut prophecy, I think things are going to get worse. It isn't getting better. And I think as we go through this time that we're going through of, it seems to me like it's working towards that time as in the days of Noah, so shall the end be, to the place that where the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts only evil continually. I never really thought I knew what that meant until I started realizing that there's people that seem to sincerely lose reality. They sincerely are only evil thinking. They don't have the concepts of what right is. And as we work towards those kind of things, we have a God that wants to be a part of our life. And we can go through, and one of the great challenges too is with Daniel and that Hebrew children was, they was taken out of their culture and put in a heathen culture. Well, how are we going to be able to stand in a culture like that? God played a role in their life. They still had God, no matter what the culture was. So no matter what happens in that, God wants to have this role. He wants the marriage role. He wants the companion role. He wants the friendship role. He wants us to see him. Does he have a part in my waking up and my laying down? Does he have a part in the fact that I'm alive today? Did he have a part in the things that happen, that goes through and happens in my life? We can still say, thank you, Lord, for what you do in my life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.